Bibles again with me to John 21 here. And I just read to you what had happened. And this is the third time that our Lord Jesus Christ appeared to His disciples. And the title of my message this morning is Three Necessary Questions. Three Necessary Questions. And this the third time, as I said, our Lord had appeared unto His disciples. It was a time of fellowship. It was a time of food. And they got to the land. The Lord Jesus already had fire and food. Already had fire and food prepared for them. You know, and He told them to come and dine. You all come and sit down and eat. That's what He told them. And you know it says there in verse 13, Jesus taketh bread. You know He had done that before. He done it when He was walking with the disciples on the Emmaus Road. He stopped in their house and they asked Him to stay. And He began to break bread and give thanks for it. And they knew immediately it was the Lord. And He broke the bread. And the last time He had broke the bread for these folks was when they sat at the Last Supper, the Lord's table, with Him. And here He says they had nothing. They had labored all night and caught nothing. They didn't have anything to eat. He said, "You got anything to eat?" "Nope, we ain't got nothing to eat." So when they got there, He already had the fire going, had the food on it. Now, where did that fire and food come from? He wasn't a fisherman. He wasn't a baker. Our Lord can create. If He created this world and upholds it by the word of His power, it ain't nothing for Him to build a fire and have bread and fish. You know, He was in a burning bush. You know, He appeared to Moses out of a burning bush, and the bush didn't consume. So, you know, it ain't nothing for Him to do that. And just like us, it's nothing for Him to put the fire, the Spirit in our heart and our soul. It's nothing for Him to feed us. It's nothing for Him. And we gather together. That's what He tells us to do. Come and dine. Come and dine. And so when they had ate and they had dined, our Savior starts a conversation with Simon Peter. And Simon Peter is representative of us as a believer. And you know, he fell. He denied the Lord three times. And our Lord Jesus Christ asked him three questions. And so he fell. And I want you to see his fall over here in Luke. Luke 22. Look at his fall here. Luke 22. His fall. You know, when Simon fell, there's several reasons why he fell. But look here in Luke 22:21. You know, we see his fall and his restoration. Here's his fall and our Lord's restoring here in John 21. And the Lord said unto Simon, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Now listen to what he says here. And he said, "Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." Oh my. Satan's already started his work on him. Filling him full of pride, selfishness, self-confidence, self-righteousness. And he said, our Lord answered him, said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou even know me." So there's his fall. And over here in John 21, we see his restoration. But oh my, he was so full of pride and self-confidence and self-righteousness. And our Lord said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has sought. And this is a very solemn and blessed thing to say. And here's a solemn thing for him. It didn't say that he was going to keep him from falling. That he wasn't even going to keep Satan from sifting him. He said, the only thing I'm praying for you is that when you fall and Satan sifts you, that your faith won't completely give way. Because that's the scary thing about it. He said, I didn't pray to keep you from falling. I didn't pray to keep you from Satan. And what a mercy it was in our Lord Jesus Christ to let him fall. It was necessary for him. And you know why it's necessary for him? So he could see the condition of his own heart. To see how lifted up he was in pride. See how lifted up he was in self-confidence. And how he looked down on the rest of those disciples. They'll all forsake you, but I won't. And that's the way he felt about it. And I tell you, the Lord, what a mercy to let him fall, to show him the worthlessness of self-confidence. The worthlessness of this flesh and trusting in the flesh. And what a blessed thing to let him fall, to humble his proud spirit. He needed to be sifted by Satan is manifest because he said, Lord, I don't care what anybody else does. I'll go to prison with you and I'll even die with you. He got to find out that don't make no boast that you can't back up. And oh my. And I tell you what, would it be necessary for you and I? Necessary for you and I to fall sometime? It was for Paul. Paul told us in 2 Corinthians, he said, you know, lest I be exalted above measures for the revelations that God gave me and Christ gave me, there was sin unto me a thorn in the flesh. I was buffeted of Satan and sin unto me a thorn in the flesh. To humble me lest I be exalted. And he said, and I asked the Lord three times. Three times to let this thing pass from me. Three times. Here's an apostle. Both of these men are apostles. And Paul said, I've asked the Lord three times, take this thorn from me. This buffeting of Satan that you sent my way. I have no idea what it was. But you know what he told him? The Lord said, oh, Paul, Saul, Saul. He said, you know what? He said, my grace is sufficient for you. And my strength is made perfect in your weakness. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Christ's strength was made perfect in Simon Peter's fall. Christ's grace was glorified in Simon Peter's fall. The weakness of his flesh was Christ's strength was shown in the weakness of Simon Peter's flesh. And oh, beloved, when we sometimes this is the only remedy God will use on us. We have to learn this, and God teaches us this by experience over and over and over again because we're so thick-headed and so hard-headed that in me we got to find this over and over and over again, that in me, that is in my flesh, there absolutely dwells nothing good. Huh? Oh, how we have to do that. And it's only when we're weak. Only when we're weak that we're strong. And this is the way for Peter. You know, he said, when you're converted, strengthen the brother. This is the way for Peter to be converted. Now, what does convert mean? Convert means to turn from here to this way. It's like in the new birth. The new birth is what God does for us. He gives us life. He creates life in us. We have a new nature. We're regenerated. And that's something we don't have anything to do with. But when that happens, we're automatically converted and we turn from ourselves and we turn to Christ. And Paul, God, Christ is saying, Simon Peter, when you're converted from this pride, this self-righteousness, this self-confidence, this boldness that you seem to have, he said, when you're converted from that, trusted in your own abilities, he said, then you turn around, you strengthen the brethren. Because you know what it is to fall, you strengthen these over here. And that's what he's talking about. And I tell you, turn from that dangerous pride and self-confidence. And you know, and then it says here in verse verse 9 here, chapter 21. As soon then as they came to land, they saw fire coals thereon and fish laid thereon. Now look back here in John 18, in verse 18, and look what it says over here. This is where Simon Peter now, he's already, he's denied the Lord Jesus Christ. First time. In verse 18, and the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Over there is a fire of coals, and over here is a fire of coals. What a difference in the two. He's over here with the enemies of Christ, and a fire of coals warming himself with the enemies of Christ, and here he is eating from a fire coals that the Lord Jesus Christ made for him. What a difference. Here's his fall, here's his restoration. What a difference it is. What a difference. And then his restoration. Look what our Lord Jesus Christ did for him. You know, he appeared to him alone. First thing he ever did, when he told his disciples, when he first appeared to Mary, he said, go into Galilee and tell Peter and the disciples that I'll meet them there. And the scriptures tells us that he appeared to Cephas first. The first person he appeared to was Simon Peter. After that, he appeared unto the 12. And then after that, among about 500 brethren at one time. And you know why he appeared to him alone? Because he had to give him a manifestation of how gracious he was, how kind he was, how compassionate he was. You see, he had denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times. And our Lord Jesus Christ asked him three questions. Three questions. He has asked three questions when he was in there in the high priest's house. He has asked three questions. When he is there, when he denied the Lord three times. And every time they asked him whether he knew Christ, he said, I don't know that man. I know him not. Oh, I'm not one of them. And so he denied him three times. And our Lord asked him three questions. Look here in verse 15. So when they had dined, after they'd got through eating, Jesus saith to Simon Peter. But now when our Lord spoke to him, he called him Simon. Didn't use the name Peter. Simon. Peter is the name the Lord Jesus gave him. And he said, Simon, son of Jonas. Your daddy's name's Jonas. Love thou me more than these? Now he's asking about two things, I believe. Do you love these disciples, these brethren that you went fishing with more than me? And do you love these fish and fishing more than me? Do you love me more than these other disciples and all these fish that I caught for you this morning? Huh? You said you did. You said you'd even die with me. Do you love me more than these? Look what he said to him. Yea, Lord. Oh, Lord. And look what he says here. Thou knowest. Thou knowest. Oh, he fell back on the knowledge of Christ. Fell back on what Christ knows. You know, he didn't fall back and retreat to his sinful boast. He didn't say, Lord, I'm sorry that I did this. No, no. He said before, I'll die with you now, beloved. He has to come and say, Lord, thou knowest. You know. And he gave him a hard confession. He said, you know. You're the one that searches the hearts. And I tell you, he didn't appeal to his own way. He didn't say, Lord, this was my way. And you know, I'm sorry I didn't go your way. He didn't appeal to his own way or what he even knew of his own heart. He knew this much about it. He couldn't trust it anymore. He couldn't trust it anymore. You know what the Bible said? A fool trusts in his own heart. Huh? And all people say, well, I know my heart. Oh, listen. I know mine's deceitful. I know it can't be trusted. And I know it'll lie to me. And I know it'll make promises that it can't keep. But all like Simon Peter said, Lord, Thou knowest. Thou knowest. He didn't say, Thou knowest if I love you. He didn't say, You know that I love you. He rested on the Lord's knowledge of His love. And there's two things here about Simon Peter. His humility and confidence. But look where it's at now. In spite of my awful, awful failure, in spite of my awful, awful fall, in spite of my awful, awful weakness, I do love you. And you know that. You know that. You know what our Master said then? He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. I heard Henry Mahan say years and years ago, I mean, I hadn't been pastoring maybe 2 years, maybe. And I heard Henry say that God's got to equip a man, teach a man, instruct a man, before he'll trust him with his sheep. And he won't trust him. The more he trains him, the more he uses him, the more he humbles him, the more he trains him in his school, he said, the more sheep he'll give him. He said, he ain't going to turn his sheep over to just anybody. And that's what he said here is what our Lord Jesus said to Simon Peter. He said, feed my lambs. The weakest, the frailest, the newest among them. What grace. What grace to one who's fallen so far. For our Lord Jesus Christ to commit his lambs to this man. He didn't say, Simon, I know you love me. But instead he said, feed my lambs. The weakest and feeblest of the flock. Look in Isaiah 40. Look in Isaiah 40 with me. Look over here in Isaiah 40 in verse 11. Feed my lambs. And you know what our Lord said here? That my lambs. They're not your lambs, Simon. They're not the church's lambs. They're my lambs. Look what he said here in verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom, and he shall gently lead those that are with young. Oh my, Simon Peter, take care of my lambs. Not only take care of them, feed them. Feed them, feed them, feed them. And all, beloved, they're his. And he's the one who appoints who's going to feed them. He's the one who appoints going to care for them. He's the one who chooses who's going to protect them. He said, feed my lambs. Here's the second question he asked Simon Peter. Verse 16. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, still didn't call him Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Second question. He saith unto him, Yea, Lord. And he said the same thing. Thou knowest that I love thee. Huh? Oh my. Before he had compared his, he wanted to know if he loved something more than him. These more than me. Here he just compares love, deals with just strictly love. To his love, not for love for anything else, but his love to Christ and Christ alone. He confines himself to love himself. Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? You're talking about a searching question. Have you ever I know we all doubt how much Christ loves us, and whether he loves us or not, or how he could possibly love us. But do you ever, ever wonder sometimes, do you have any love for him because of the way you act, the way you do, the way you think? If I was like this, and I'd done this, and I said this, and I treated people this way, could I love Christ and do that? Oh, huh? A searching question for all who profess faith in him. Lovest thou me? Oh, John Newton said, if I've never loved thee before, if I've never loved thee before in any way, let me start today. Oh, God, put your love in my heart now. Oh, if I've never loved you before, let me start today. Put it in my heart now. Oh, Lord, I want to love you, but I know me. I know that the Scriptures tells us that we love ourselves more than anybody else. But he said, lovest thou me? And I tell you something, he didn't say, do you know much? Do you know much? Do you know the doctrines of grace? Do you do much? He didn't ask that question. Do you do much? He didn't say, do you talk much? He didn't say, did you give much? He didn't ask him, did you go through much? No. He didn't ask him, do you make a great show in religion? Didn't ask him, do you pray a lot? Do you read your Bible a lot? He didn't ask any of those questions. Do you love me? Do you love me? And all he fell on the same thing. Lord, Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. There you said at God's right hand. Oh Lord, thou knowest, thou knowest, thou knowest, thou knowest. You know what he said this time? Feed my sheep. My lambs and my sheep. You know, when I see you, I see the Lord's sheep. I see God's sheep. I see people that have to be fed, have to be nourished, have to be taught, have to be instructed. You know, when the Lord said, the Lord is my shepherd. Everything about that says, because he's our shepherd, I shall not want. And he, the shepherd, does the leading. He leads us. And then it says he maketh us. He has to make it happen. Maketh to lie down beside the still waters. He has everything about them sheep. He does for those sheep. And his sheep don't say, I did anything for myself. He leads them. He guides them. He makes them lay down. He leads them beside the green. He takes them into the green pastures. He does it all. Huh? Oh my, I'll tell you what, worst thing you can do is mistreat one of God's sheep. Woo! There he is. I've told you this before, there's a fella, he's dead and gone now. And he preached against the gospel. Me and Bruce Crabtree, God taught us the gospel, and he wanted to distance himself from us. But he said this one time, said, God called me to shear sheep and dehorn goats. What a stupid thing to say. Shear sheep? Shear sheep? You know what God said about his sheep? Feed my sheep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Comfort you, my people. Huh? And one thing our Lord told us, He said, it'd be better for to take a big millstone, put it around a man's neck, and throw him into the depth of the sea, than he should offend one of these little ones. Oh, my, feed my sheep. And then he told Simon Peter in another place, he said, take oversight of the sheep of God, the flock of God, not for filthy lucre's sake. You do it because I told you to do it. And oh my, I've told you this before. I'm sure I have. I know I have. Years and years and years ago, we were still over in that other building. And I mean, we was very, very small congregation and wasn't many of us at all. And I got to feeling sorry for myself. You know, I'd come on Sunday night, and after a while, three or four would show up, maybe five. Wednesday nights, I mean, it was same thing, you know. But I got to feeling sorry for myself one Wednesday. And I thought, Lord, I ain't a bit of sense. I ain't no sense me even getting a message. I ain't even going to worry about getting anything to preach tonight. I said, I'll just show up, and if there's anybody shows up, I'll come up with something to say, you know. What it amounted to, I felt like I deserved more. See, I'm such a good preacher, I deserve people to preach to. You know, that's my problem. I see it now, you know, full of pride. But I had one little old Holstein calf. I'd raised him on a bottle and I was feeding him. And I'd have to go down there every day and I'd feed that calf every day. And I was on my way down there to feed that calf in the afternoon. And it's just like God, you're talking about a fall. Saying, ain't no sense even getting nothing to say. But I thought, it dawned on me, God just opened my heart to see that I was going down there to feed one calf. And my heart smote me. God smote my heart. And he said, you feed one calf. And if there's one sheep shows up and you want to complain about not feeding them, I sighed about, boy, broke my heart. I felt so ashamed of myself, so embarrassed before God. And I said, Lord, if there is one sheep shows up, I'll have something to feed them from now on. And by God's grace, I've been able to hopefully feed the Lord's sheep wherever I've been able to be with them together. Oh, God taught me a valuable lesson. I was like Simon Peter. Oh, I had to fall. Here's his third question. Look what he says here at verse 17. Here's his third question. Oh my. Simon, he saith unto him the third time. Remember, he denied the Lord three times, so the Lord asked him three times. Three times, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter had an altogether different reaction this time. Altogether different reaction. And it says, Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? Peter had a different reaction. He was grieved. He said, the Lord knows something about me. I don't, you know. There's something in me that I don't know. Something in me going on. And he was grieved. And that means deeply, deeply sorrowful. Cut to the quick. He's contrite. He's grieved. He's hurting. Three times he had denied the Lord Jesus Christ his Master. And three times our Lord challenges his love. And three times he confesses. But this time, he confesses in a different way. Watch what he said. Lord, first thing he says, thou knowest all things. You know everything there is to know. There's nothing that you don't know. It said over in John 18:4, Jesus, knowing that all things that should come upon him, went forth. knowing exactly what was going to happen to him, knowing exactly how he's going to be treated, knowing exactly what he's going to happen to him on the cross, knowing exactly what men were going to say and do to him. He went forth knowing all things that should come upon him. Huh? And here Simon Peter falls back on that. Lord, thou knowest all. Is there anything you don't know about me, Lord? You not only know me, but you know all things. You know all things. You told me before I fell that I was going to fall. Oh, Lord, thou knowest all things. And you know that I love you. Oh, my. Isn't it a blessed thing to know that our Lord Jesus Christ knows all things? Huh? You know, He knows where we're at right now. He knows what this country's going through. He knows, in fact, He brought it this way. He brought it. Why did He bring it? To show that this, you can't put any confidence in the flesh. That there's so much in this world that's out of men's control, and He wants this world to know. You can't control this world. You can't control me. You can't control diseases. You can't even control your own will, your own imagination. Keep yourself from sin. And this will make people look and understand that there's things out of men's control. And beloved, believers is the only ones that know that. I tell you, the only people that know in this world that God knows all things. And He's the first cause of all things. And when it ends up bringing all the glory to Him, that's when it'll stop. And it won't stop till then.
That's right.
And we're not glorying in the fact that that's what happens, but we're glorying. We know this, that if what He brought, He also can take away.
Amen.
What He does, He can stop just like that. He can bring it that quick and stop it that quick.
Yeah.
But this world and everybody in it's going to learn that there's somebody besides this world and governments that save people.
Yeah.
And you know what it does for you and I? It makes us care for our country like we haven't cared for in a long time.
Yeah.
You know what else it does? It makes us care for people. You know how many people? This is the thing that bothers me more than anything else other than just the sickness. Is all the people that are going to be out of work and have no income whatsoever.
Yeah.
Now that really troubles me.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to really, really be hurting. And I'll say this, if you've got a good job and you've got a steady income, you do what you can to help people that's out of work. You find somebody in your community, in this town and in this city, that people that don't have a job, don't have any place to work and lost their income, you find somebody to help. Find somebody to give them a little money. But it's caused us to pray. Oh, how we pray for this country. Huh? Pray for those, all those people, all those people out of work. And then here's Simon Peter. That's why we say God knows all things.
Amen.
There's nothing happening. But I tell you what. But I want to know God. I want to know Christ. I want to know Him. And I thank God that He knows all things. And when all things are ready, He'll stop just like that. Huh? Stop like it came. Huh? Men couldn't see any signs of love. This is what's going on in Simon Peter's heart. Men couldn't see any signs of love that he loved the Lord Jesus Christ when he denied Him. That maid that led him in said, "Oh, you was with him." No, I wasn't. You couldn't see any sign of love in for Christ when he done that. You couldn't see any love for Christ when he stood beside that fire. You couldn't see any love for Christ when he denied him three times. Huh? Oh my. But Lord, you can read my heart. When I denied you the first time, you read my heart. When I denied you the second time, you read my heart. When I denied you the third time, you read my heart. I'm glad that you don't just look at what men do and how men act, but you look in the depths of their heart and you know what's really there. Huh? There's lots of times folks who see me and say, there's no way that man could be a Christian. Huh? But oh my. No, you look beyond what I said, and look what beyond I did. You look past it. You done atoned for all my sin. And you saw the depths of my heart. You saw the depths of my soul. My lips said one thing. My lips said one thing. But Lord, you was reading my heart, not my lips. Huh? Ain't you grateful that he's that way? Oh, he reads your heart. You know, he don't read our lips, he reads our hearts. And he looks at the heart. Oh, the heart. Oh my. And then look what he said here again. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Three times. He told feed my sheep, once to feed my lambs. Don't you think these are three necessary questions? Simon Peter, you love me. Here's the way. Here's the way you're going to manifest your love for me. How? For my sheep. How you treat my sheep. He said, feed my sheep. You love me? Take care of my sheep. They're my sheep. He said, I'll lay down my life for the sheep. Huh? He's forgiven freely. Fully restored to his apostleship, and the Lord commends to him that which is the most dearest to him on this earth. And you know what it is? His sheep. The dearest thing to him on earth is his sheep. And he said, Simon Peter, I want you to feed them. I want you to take care of them. And oh, he bought them with his precious blood. He paid for all their sins with his blessed blood. He laid down his life for them. And he knows them. And they know him. They hear his voice. And you know where you hear his voice? When he's having them fed. They hear his voice when he's feeding them. When he's feeding them. Our Father, in the blessed, blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for your abundant mercy and grace given us in Christ before the world ever began. I thank you for this, thy precious word. Lord, you're responsible for the sheep, and you told us to feed your sheep. We can't feed them unless you give us food. So Lord, you have to give us something to feed them with. So we look to you for the feed. We look to you for the guidance. We look for you for the grace. Look to you for the strength. And God bless you, dear sheep. Lord, strengthen them, encourage them. And Lord, we commit ourselves and this congregation and those who are greatly tried right now into your hands. And again, provide for those who don't have. Lead us, Lord, to people that we could maybe help some way, somehow. For Christ's sake, amen. Amen.